Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors, is here, and we are talking about disciplined investing in stocks today in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, everybody, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for, what they watch out to avoid, what they're seeing happening in the market right now, and how they're responding, what their favorites are, and what they're moving away from. And ultimately, we put them to your test with a little bit of hold it or fold it at the end. My guest has been on the show many times before, and I'm very happy that he's back. His name is Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you know the name of the firm, well, you're in luck if you want to get more information, because they're online at barrickyard.com, and they're on Twitter at Barrick Yard. Martin LeClaire, great to have you back on Money Life.
Hey, great to be here, Chuck, as always.
So the word I used as I was introducing you and saying that you were going to be on is disciplined, because I think if I had to say, describe, like somebody said, hey, you know, who are your market call guests and what do they do? I would say that you really have a disciplined process that you adhere to that works very well for you. So explain the discipline for us.
Okay, well, thank you, Chuck. First of all, I think your listeners should realize, in terms of, you know, the way that we look at the world, is that there are three key factors in having a successful investing life. First of all, you have to understand the difference between speculating and investing. And to summarize what we think of as the difference is that investing is show me the money. Speculating is we're going to think about something happening in the future and it's going to be good. So show us the money. In other words, an asset that has income, any asset that produces income, like if you own an apartment building and your rents exceed your expenses, or if you own a company that's making money, those are investments. A speculation is an asset that doesn't generate any money. For example, raw land. With raw land, you have to actually pay taxes. So it's actually taking money away from you. A company that's losing money is taking money away from you, because as an owner of that business, you're being hurt every time the company is losing money. So first of all, understanding the difference between speculation and investment. Number two, and this is really critical, is to understand the source of investment returns, which is a corollary to that is to understand what the secret sauce of the stock market really is. And what the secret sauce is a company makes money and then they do something with those profits. They can give it back to the owners, some of it or all of it, and that's called a dividend. But the real secret sauce is when they keep that money, how they invest that money for the long-term benefit of the owners, the shareholders. Number three, understand that the most important thing that any investor brings to the table, the most critical component, is not their intelligence, because having superior intelligence is no advantage in investing. All you need is basically average intelligence. Secondly, expert knowledge of the stock market, being a finance professor, all those things are not as important as the most important thing, which is your temperament, understanding how to control your emotions. And right now, unfortunately, we're in one of those periods where that is particularly true.
So how are you controlling your emotions right now? I mean, obviously, if you know that everything's there, And you're going to be disciplined and you're going to stick with the process and you're going to say, I want those things that are owning, I'll cut back on the speculations. I mean, I would have imagined that you wouldn't have had too many of the speculations going into a tough time so that you don't have to cut back too much on them beforehand. And that the rest of it is sit it out and wait, because you're acting like an owner and you have those things that are not speculative in your portfolio.
So the silver bullet in all this is patience, and patience is tied to long-term thinking. So, for example, yesterday I took a position in a company that I've looked at for a long time, Whirlpool. And Whirlpool is the best appliance maker in the world, arguably. You know, Samsung might argue with that. But they clearly have a wonderful position in the marketplace. And I'm looking at Whirlpool as a long-term investment. I'm not looking at it what's going to do next month or next year. What I'm looking at is, you know, in 5 or 10 years from now, if we go back to a normal environment, does Whirlpool have the financial resources to hang in there? The answer, I believe, is yes. Secondly, is the demand still going to be there for washers and dryers and kitchen appliances? And I believe the answer is going to be yes. And this company, are they going to lose money if we go into a terrible recession? The answer is maybe, but during the Great Recession, they still made money. So that is the way I'm thinking about it. And then on top of that, and what helps me is that I also do some investment banking in the lower middle market, is looking at private businesses. And Whirlpool right now is trading at a multiple of 4.7 times its EBITDA. Now, crummy little companies that are not multi-billion dollar brands that everybody knows, crummy little companies in a normal environment, maybe doing revenues of 20 or 30 million, making maybe $1.2 million of profits, those in a normal environment would be selling for 5 or 7 times EBITDA. So that's how cheap, you know, that's the way I look at it and why I have the confidence to make a purchase yesterday of a company which, you know, is somewhat cyclical.
So when you look at the market right now, what are the areas that stand out to you? Where are you able to say, I'm ready to buy, if anywhere, versus I'm willing to be patient and waiting to see this market play out a little more before I buy?
Well, I think by way of context, for investors, you know, essentially there are three bombs that are blowing up, right? Sort of like a nuclear bomb where things are spreading. Obviously, there's the pandemic, and that's the most important one. But for investors, there are two bombs, and only one of them has been getting the attention. One is the response to the global pandemic, the economic bomb. And I believe the policymakers have done an incredibly good job, and they have, for now, stopped this economic bomb from turning into a financial crisis. We're in an economic crisis, but not a financial crisis, and that's very, very key, I think. But the other bomb that's not getting as much press is the oil price war that was declared by Saudi Arabia and now in cahoots with Russia. And that has devastating possibilities in terms of the United States, because we're the largest producer of oil and gas in the world. And that's going to have knock-on effects in places, you know, particularly like Texas and so forth. And so I would say go where the most misery is, number one, but you got to stay with quality. So I'm seeing opportunities in energy, but really across the board. So I think the key is not so much sectors. I would say the key is really financial strength, because you want to own the businesses that are going to be in a position not only to survive this, but be in a position to be able to benefit from this environment. Competitors are going to be going out of business. You want a company that will be able to buy assets on the pennies or be able to grow their market share. It's during bear markets that you make your money. That's an old Wall Street expression. And basically what it means is that clever management teams that have the financial wherewithal sow the seeds for the next upturn in the marketplace by taking advantage of dislocations. Everyone talks, you know, just anecdotally, everyone has an uncle who, you know, was a successful businessman, and everyone says, oh, he was successful because he bought when things were bad, he sold when things were good. Really, that's what we're talking about.
So a name or two of a stock that you're able to buy right now that kind of piques your interest?
The one thing I think is a wonderful opportunity, particularly for your listeners, who I presume to be more sort of average investors, individuals, and so forth, I would say look at what I call family holding companies. Because of the critical things we look at, apart from financial strength, we also believe skin in the game is very important. Do you want your business run by the person who built the business and still owns a big chunk of it? Or do you want it run by professional managers whose only skin in the game is stock they got as part of the compensation? I want to own businesses where the people running the business have skin in the game, where they took their own hard-earned dollars and bought equity stakes in these businesses. One of the poster childs for that is Berkshire Hathaway with Warren Buffett. So number one, skin in the game. Number two, companies that have excellent track records of capital allocation. One of the things they don't teach in business schools is the importance of capital allocation, which is basically being an investor. The best stocks for the long term are companies that are run by people who are good investors. So everyone knows Warren Buffett. In the United States, there's a company called Markel in Richmond, whose investment portfolio is run by Tom Gaynor. He's excellent. Another company in the United States, a family holding company, Graham Holdings, which is here in Washington, D.C., originally part of the Washington Post business, but they spun that out, sold it to Bezos many years ago. But they're the number one for-profit education company in the United States. So that would be an example. In Europe, there's a company called Exor, E-X-O-R, and Exor was the holding company for the Agnelli family, which owns Chrysler, Fiat, as well as Ferrari. That stock is so cheap, and it's run by a 38-year-old who has been running it for almost 10 years. He has a great investment track record. And the stock right now is trading at about a 45% discount from its discounted book value, by my calculation. And they have an agreement to sell their insurance subsidiary for $9 billion, and the market cap of the company is $11 billion. So for $2 billion, basically, you're getting a big stake in Ferrari, a big stake in Chrysler, which, you know, may not be worth that much, but they also own a lot of other investments, including some interesting software transportation businesses.
Now let's find out how you feel about some stocks my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer at Barrick Yard Advisors. Go to barrickyard.com or on Twitter at Barrick Yard for more information. We're a bit late getting to Hold It or Fold It, so we're just going to jump in, starting with a request we got from Mark in Eagan, Minnesota, who wanted to know about KS, that's Klondike Silver Corp.
Pure speculation, it's probably going to go to zero.
Okay, yeah. Well, that sums it up. Just do it this way.
Put that one on the psycho list.
Put that one on the psycho list. Wow. Okay, so KS, that was a fold. We'll move on to a request from Richard in Chula Vista, California, Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and Dan in Williston, Vermont. They all wanted to know about Encana Corporation. They all wanted to know about it when it was Encana Corporation. It's not Encana anymore. It's now Ovintiv, which is ticker OVV.
Encana has a lot of great attributes in its favor, but we're, as I mentioned, the two bombs, and it's right in the center of a terrible dislocation in its industry. In the oil and gas industry, I would only own the really strong ones like Exxon and Chevron and BP and so forth, or the pipelines, just the very strongest ones, maybe like a Kinder Morgan or a Enterprise Products. In Canada, I think it's probably too speculative at this point. They only have about $500 million of equity in the company now versus about $6 billion of debt. So one idea I have for Encana, though, if you own it and you take your loss, I would say if you want to go into another equity, maybe buy Exxon. However, they do have some short-term bonds that yield 26%. That's not an endorsement on my part, but if you already own the name, you could maybe do a swap. They have some bonds coming due in November that are trading for 72 cents on the dollar. So you might be able to get back some money that way, but okay. That's not a recommendation.
It was a fold on OVV Ovintiv.
Tell them to sell!
But in there, well, there was that possibility of buying ExxonMobil, XOM.
Could we please buy now?
As well as the thought of at least looking at OVV's bonds. Tom in Louisville, California wants to know about Prudential Financial, PRU. I know that's a stock you've liked in the past.
You know, I own Prudential, and I worked for Prudential back in the 1990s. I don't think their culture has changed. They're a very conservative firm. I think Prudential, at some point in the next 10 years, will go to its book value. Its book value right now is 160. So I think it's an incredibly undervalued stock. I think one of the reasons why it's down so much is because there's a narrative that we're going to go to negative interest rates. And if we do, that's going to be terrible for the insurance companies. However, I would note that Prudential has a big business in Japan. Mostly they're just in the United States and Japan. Japan has had negative interest rates for a long time, and they've been perennially profitable in Japan. So it's one of the great mysteries of life is why Prudential insurance is so cheap right now. So that's a buy.
It's a buy on Prudential Financial, PRU.
I'm in this for the long haul.
Our last two requests come from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first, Brookfield Property REIT, BPR.
So Brookfield has one of the highest quality portfolios in the world. It has really gotten whacked. I don't know, you know, why it's gotten so whacked. However, they have about $6 billion of liquidity right now. And most of their properties have the debt on their properties are specific to the property, not to the corporation. So if the property goes bankrupt, then it won't bring down the corporation. It's just the asset will have to be written down. So I think it's a reasonable bet, and I'd say it's a buy.
That is a buy on BPR.
Buy, buy, buy.
Buy, buy, buy. Yes.
Brookfield Property REIT. And last, it's Novartis AG. The ADR trades under NVS.
Quality company, great franchise. They have a new CEO over the last few years who's doing a great job. They've repositioned the portfolio. I think I don't own the stock, but it's one of those companies that I've been thinking about buying. It's a nice blue chip. If you just, you know, buy it and put it away, I think you'll do okay.
But you don't own it right now. Does that mean that it's currently like a hold and you're waiting a little bit more?
Well, no. What it means is so many cheap things. It was a lot more expensive before than it is now. So I have that and a couple of other healthcare names that I've been cogitating.
So it's moved into buy territory. Whether you buy it or not will depend on things that you've got specifically, but you can recommend it as a buy on Novartis, ticker symbol NVS.
Bye, bye, bye. Is that all you can think about?
Well, we had a lot of things to think about in this interview, but right now all we can think about is goodbyes because we have to say our goodbyes to Martin LeClaire. But Marty, it's always great to chat with you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Be safe and talk to us again soon, I hope.
My pleasure, Chuck. Absolutely. Anytime.
That's Martin LeClaire, everybody, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. It's barrickyard.com on Twitter at Barrick Yard. We'll be back to wrap up our day and our week on Money Life and let you know about some great things coming next week before we send you home right after this message.